on the outside, on the outer court, before we get into the actual sanctuary. There is sheets that hopefully the ushers gave you. There's only front to back pages. There's only two pages, front and back, one sheet. So you guys be able to keep up with me today, right? And then hopefully, depends on what the Lord does with meetings and such, I need to get going on calling them. I'm just waiting for, pray that they let me in. I'm going to go under World for the World. We'll see what happens over there. And then from there, I get some more clear. It'll be a lot clearer on what to do next. So then I can start calling people. So that would be a blessing. But before we get started, let's go ahead and ask the Lord and be with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great morning that you have provided. Lord, it's a little bit chilly outside. Thank you for it. Lord, we pray that you'd help us this morning, this hour. Help the children. Help the teachers, Lord. I pray that you'd help us here. Pray that you'd show us something from your word. Lord, as we think about the Lord's Supper tonight, help us not to be a last-minute effort there, Lord, in trying to get our hearts right. Lord, I pray that we would do it every day. We would go before you, Lord, and ask you for guidance, Lord, and ask you, Lord, to show us something in our lives that we need to get cleansed. And Lord, as we talk about the labor, maybe we can apply that in our lives. As we, Lord, judge ourselves, Lord, as an individual, Lord, we need to go and look at ourselves, within ourselves, and say, and be honest with ourselves and tell us who we really are. Lord, we ask that you'd help us today. Help us, Lord, as we study this. Pray that you'd use it, Lord, not just for today, but for the remainder of our years. Lord, we can share it to others. We can show others, Lord, how that you use the labor. Lord, it's an example for us today. Now, we love you, Lord, and give you thanks. Help again our pastor as he's, Lord, trying to start a church there in Evans. And, Lord, this is their, I believe, sixth week or fifth. And, Lord, I pray that you'd give them some encouragement, Lord. Bring some people in there. Lord, give them some solid families that will be able to help them, Lord, in starting that church. We pray for someday, Lord, we'll hear of that church grow, and we'll hear, Lord, that it starts sending missionaries out and evangelists and other workers, and maybe even send out people to start other churches around the area. Lord, we ask you that you'd help us tonight as our pastor, Lord, will give us a vision. And, Lord, we pray that we'll be in the bandwagon. We'll jump in and participate and not just be an onlooker and a watcher. Lord, we love you now, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got an exciting day ahead of us, and I'll start with me. No, I'm just kidding. Exodus chapter number 30. Let's go ahead and turn there. Exodus chapter number 30. As you notice, we only have two pages, so that means I have to do a lot of talking. I do a lot of talking whether there's many pages or not. That's why we're not getting through this. But next time, hopefully, I won't be here next week because I've been invited to go preach to a church down in Pennsylvania. I believe Brother Spiller would be speaking. And I did hear his message that he wants to preach here before in prison. It's very good. It's worthwhile coming. I tell you this. I told him to give me a copy of it. At the time, he only had six pages. He told me that he added about, well, how many more? 12? 10 more pages. So you guys are in for it. And I want a copy of all of it. I would love it. So, all right, the labor. The materials for the labor. Let's go ahead and read Exodus chapter 30 and verse number 17. If I ever get that, there we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass, to wash withal. And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle and the congregation of the congregation and the altar. And thou shalt put water therein. For Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet thereat. When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water, that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not, and it shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generations. If you want to kindly turn to Exodus chapter 38, and we'll read verse number 8. Exodus 38 and verse number 8. And I'll go ahead and read. And he made the laver of brass, and the foot of it of brass, and the looking glasses of the women assembling, which assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I don't know why the women are assembling at the door of the tabernacle. Maybe they were talking. I don't know what they were doing in the front. I don't know what you ladies do in the front. I don't know if you guys do that. But the looking glasses, I don't know if that's the glasses that they used, but they said whoever collected all of them, they used that for the building of the labor. The altar, its horns, and its stays were all made of wood and covered completely with brass. We already know about that. Brass. Brass signifies divine judgment. Let's turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 2. Let me read that to you. And verse 8. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. And verse number 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For that transgression my people, he was stricken. So we know that he went to Pilate's judgment hall, and that's where he was judged. Pilate didn't want to do it because his wife had a dream, and he said, don't do it. And Pilate said, well, I'm going to pass the buck. And so he said, he's a Galilean, so he's under the jurisdiction of Herod. He said, bring him back to Herod. Herod laughed at him, and said, no, bring him back to Pilate. And so Pilate, we know the story. He took a water, a basin, and washed his hands, signifying that he said that I don't believe this man is guilty. I believe this man is innocent. But because of the people, because of the religious leaders, the Jewish people that said, crucify him, he did it. But the judgment hall, God took our judgment on him. The judgment that we all deserve, each and every one of us. He took upon him. So brass, the laver was made out of brass, spoke of strength, firmness, endurance of judgment. Time doesn't cure sin any more than it cures cancer, AIDS, etc. We have to remember that. We always say that to our teenagers. Oh, they'll grow out of it. Some things you don't grow out of. I still love ice cream. I'm not going to grow out of that, I don't think. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 23, and chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. If you want to take time to read those passages, you go ahead and do that. I tell you, time doesn't do it. Time doesn't do it. Sin will always cost you. We already talked about that. Sin will always cost you. It's not free. It might be free for the moment. It seems like it's okay to do, but it still will cost you in the long run. And like I said before, you might not end up paying for it yourself. You might never see the consequence of it. And I'm saying that it would be rare if you don't see the consequence of your sin. You will get the consequence of your sin on earth. But if you don't end up paying for it, guess who's going to pay for it? Your children. Your children pay up for your sins. Remember what the saying goes? This is what you do in moderation. Your children are doing excess. So be careful what you involve yourself with, what kind of things that you like to participate in, because it might just be that your children will be destroyed by it. We might be all right. There's some things maybe I could do. I know better. I know I have discretion about it. I know how to do it moderately. But my children might not have that. So be careful. Even some good things that we like to do. Our children's heart can be taken away from God. And you know, it might not be necessarily sin, but something good, something that's decent. But if that starts taking the heart of our children away from God, it's not going to be good. It's not good. The altar, judgment against sin. We talked about the brazen altar. We took 3 weeks to talk about that. Sin cleansed. The judgment against sin, God, the Lord Jesus, took upon him. But the labor talks about a little bit different. It talks about the judgment against self. Defilement, cleanse. See, the looking glasses was, you see a little bit of, you don't see a good picture, but I got a couple of pictures of the labor. And by the way, I'll tell you later that there's no exact measurements of how was it supposed to be made. So you see a lot of pictures that are different from one another. One's not right, one's not wrong. We just don't know how it really looked. The scripture doesn't specify it as detailed as the others. The others were given exact measurement, how they were built, and how they were to look. But the bracelet and the labor was not given such, you know, specification. So we just have to come up with an imagination. It's made out of brass. It's a basin. It's something where they can wash themselves with. And in fact, at point before they started the priesthood, when they were anointed, they were supposed to take a bath in it. So it's big enough to put a person in. Well, I don't know how to take a bath back then. I know in the Philippines we do it a little bit different. We just have a little bucket of water and a little cup maybe, and that's how we took a shower. So the bathtub was new for me when it first came. I didn't know how to work that thing. But it's all right, I found out. And I found out it's got hot water. You be careful what knobs you turn on. See, in the Philippines, if you have one hot water, you know it because it took a long time because you had to boil it. Here, it just came out of the spigot. It was very, very dangerous. But self, it's kind of good because we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper tonight. And that's what this is. It's looking to yourself. Look into your life. Hey, you might be saved. We might be born again Christians. We know for sure that if we die today, that we're going to go to heaven because of our salvation that's been bought. And that talks about the altar. But God didn't make us perfect when He saved us, in a sense. He did set us in heavenly places. We're already seated in the heavenlies. But that's jurisdiction, yes, we're perfect, we're holy. Jurisdiction, you know, in front of a judge, if we stand before God, we're 100% holy. We're 100% righteous, not because of our righteousness, but because of His righteousness that He bestowed upon us. No longer does He impute our unrighteousness, but He gave us His own righteousness. He robed us with His righteousness. So we stand before God, we're 100% holy, 100% perfect. Jurisdiction. But in practice, we're not holy. As you can tell, we're not holy. We make mistakes. We're frail. We still fall. We still tend to go back to the old ways. And so, that's what the labor was. It reminded them, hey, you need to be holy, for I am holy. You need to be perfect, for I am perfect. That's what the Bible was talking about and showing us, and we can learn from the labor. Okay? The next one. The mirrors of examination by God's Word. Let's go ahead and turn to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 and verse number 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And it's not true. When we go to a preaching service, when the Lord talks to us through a preacher maybe, or when we read the Word of God, do we not tend to forget what we just read, or we tend to forget what we just heard? We go to the front, we make a good decision, and I know that our pastor emphasizes that it's just not as emotional. What he meant by that is that it's not just for the time then. When we make a decision in the altar, it's a decision that we'll make, and the decision is a commitment that we'll say, we're going to do this until we die. Some of our decision in the altar, that's what it's supposed to be. So we don't have to always go back and do the same thing. We just go back up in the front, and remind ourselves, hey, I made the decision. I made this decision, and I'm going to keep it. And that's what we need to do. But we tend to forget. You know, there was an awesome message about something that God squarely spoke to us, and it seems like that we were the only ones there, and God looked us in our eyeballs and said, this is what you need to do. And we heard it. And then we made a response. We came to the front or whatever. Or while you were reading at home, you prayed or something happened that you knew definitely God was spoken to you through His Word. And then we tend to forget. We leave it behind. And God has to bring it back up again. But God's Word is like the mirror, the looking glasses of those women that this labor was made of. See, when the water was there, there's a glass in the basin. The basin was made out of brass. Talks of the judgment. And then you see inside of it was the glasses. So the mirror, and they put the water on it, and you can see the reflection of yourself when you washed your hands and washed your feet to do the when the priest did their Levitical duties. But the Word of God signifies that mirror. When we look at God's Word, we should look at it in the sense of we're looking at ourselves in the mirror, because it shows who we are. The Bible does. If you're honest with yourself, you probably won't need a preacher if you let the Holy Spirit talk to you, because He'll show you who you are from this Word if you just read it right. You don't read it just to get by. You don't read it just to check a mark on your daily schedule. But if you read it with meaning and with your with your intention to get something out of it, the Holy Spirit will show you something out of it. I tell you, He will. He will. He's more interested in you knowing the Bible than you are. Because if you know the Bible, it'll help you to know who the Lord God is. And that is the main basis. In order to know God, we need to know His Word. That's the way He has chosen it. He has chosen to leave us a written Word whereby we can know Him. It's like a letter to you so you can know who He is. He spells out who He is in this Word. You can find out who God is. In Hebrews, let's go ahead and turn there. Just one book before James there, Hebrews chapter number 4. And verse number 12. We know this verse. You probably can quote it. But let me read it. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And the Word of God will judge you. I don't have to. Not another preacher will have to. The Word of God does. The Word of God does. You know, it's kind of funny when the preacher preaches, and you'll feel this probably, it seems like he's talking to you, but he has no idea who you are. Let me tell you who knew you. It's the Holy Spirit in him talking to you. And the Holy Spirit is trying to say, hey, wake up, son. I've been trying to teach you this. And it's the Holy Spirit talking. You be very careful and don't get offended that it's a preacher saying that to you. You better look past that. You better look way past that. Or you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow because you'll be mad. You'll be mad. Some preacher might preach up here you won't like. But you need to look past the preacher. It's not me preaching to you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And when you hear His voice, harden at your heart. Harden at your heart. Hey, there might be some things that I'll say, and you know it's coming from me directly. But if you hear something from the Holy Spirit through me, you better listen to that. You better listen to that or you miss a blessing. You'll miss a blessing. Because don't let me get in your way. I'm a lot smaller than that. Don't make me a big stumbling block. Don't fall over me. Go past beyond me. Try to hear what God says through His Word. And that's what you need to do. With any preacher, let the Word of God itself show you who you are and what you need. The brazen labor speaks of self-judgment, a prejudgment in which we can come clean by seeing sin for what it is for ourselves before and coming clean rather than fighting off and denying the guilt. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 31 and 32, John 12, 42, 48. You can read that. Take time to read those passages and I'll explain this statement a little bit better. And that's what it is. We can't put our head in the sand. You have to get out of it. We can't battle sin. Like I said before, we can't battle sin ignorantly. We have to know what it is. I've said it before. You need to know what's your problem. You need to make it serious. Serious enough that you're going to go to God and say, God, help me with this. And not nonchalantly say, oh, I know I have a problem with this, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay that we have sin in our lives. It's not okay that I have sin in my life. It's not okay at all. We need to come to the realization that we are sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. My goodness, if Paul can say that he's the chief of sinners, and we can read about what he has done, well, I don't know what I'll be. If he's the chief of sinners, I'm way beyond the chief. I don't know what I'll be. I'll be a general or something. I don't know, but I'm way beyond that. If he can say that, honestly, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a Hebrew of the Hebrew, I mean, he had all the advantages. He had a Roman citizenship. He could have said, hey, I'm a Roman. You can't chop my head off. He could have used any advantages he had. And he could say, honestly, and say, I'm a chief of sinners. We need to come to ourselves and say that. You know, we get mad when a preacher preaches to us that we're sinners. We shouldn't get mad. He's just telling the truth. That's what we are. Hey, if we weren't a sinner, then we could not enjoy the love of God. And you say, well, you're crazy. Yes, because Christ came. Why? For us, sinners. The Bible tells us God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, we can enjoy the love of God because we're sinners. It does not make us right to be sinners. But if we were not sinners, Christ would not have come. But we know that we are, and he came. All right? Water. The mirror signifies God's word. And we need to go to God's word and judge ourselves, thereby, whether we're right or whether we're wrong. But the water of the cleansing by God's word. Not only does the Bible, a mirror to show us how wicked we are, praise the Lord, it gives a solution. It's not a book of it's not a book of just telling us we're wrong, but it's a book that's telling us we're wrong and saying, hey, there's a way that we can fix it. That's not good. That's very good. It's just like taking your car to the mechanic shop. Not only can they tell there's something wrong with it, you know there's something wrong with it. It's not acting up right. The car doesn't want to move. But when you take it there, they know something's wrong. It kind of gives you that relief, right? Something's wrong. They find out what it is. And they say, well, we can fix that. That gives you a little bit of a relief, doesn't it? Well, the same thing with the Word of God. Not only can you find fault, or you can't find our mistakes, but he says, I have a solution for it. Hey, if you practice the Word of God, we know Pastor Stan encourages us to read a proverb a day. We can get a wisdom of one of those proverbs that we read. We read the proverbs, we'll read it 12 times, because the whole book, we'll read it 12 times, if we read it every day. You know, one proverb a day. We can read the whole proverb in 1 month. In a year, we can read it 12 times. And all that reading, I hope the Holy Spirit can talk to you and say, share something to you that you can apply that day. And you will be blessed by it. And you will be blessed by it. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Ephesians 5:26. The word of God is like a cleansing ingredient. It washes us like water does. And so that's what it signifies. The priests had to go to the basin, to the laver, and wash their hands and wash their feet before they did the sacrifice in the brazen altar, or before they went inside the sanctuary. Each time they did it, they had to wash their hands. So we see that there's a bunch of people helping out in this, because they have to probably clean the water once in a while. With all that blood that they sacrificed, they're going to wash their hands after the next sacrifice. So there's probably people there from the Levite tribes, one of those families we talked about that had specific designation, whatever the things that they needed to do. Well, those people were doing the water there. Construction of the labor. No specific dimensions or shape are given. We already talked about that. The purpose of the labor. What time do we have? Okay, the purpose of the labor. Exodus 30:18. Let's go ahead and read that. Exodus 30 and verse 18. Why did God want to have a labor? In Exodus chapter number 30, in verse 18, this is what it says. Thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot also of brass to wash withal, that thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and thou shalt put water therein to wash both hands and feet. What? Of guilt and defilement. And there's a whole bunch of verses here you can read in your own time. You have it in your notes. Take time to read them. Of guilt and of defilement. All right, we'll move on. Did you get that? The water is for cleansing, self-judgment, God's Word. Here's the last page. It'll be in your back. All right. Forsake the washing. Even simple neglect meant death. I know if you noticed that, if they didn't wash their hands before the sacrifice, if they didn't wash their hands and feet before they went into the tabernacle itself, they were dead. It's very careful. And you know what? It's so true with our spiritual life that God has given us. We can't experience that abundant life, the life that's full, the life that's flowing out of us. And not only we are getting benefited by it, but it's benefiting others. That's what abundant life is. It's a completed life. It's not an easy, oh yes, no problem life. But it's a life where you can face the problems because you have the God of the universe that's taking care of you. You got the God that has peace, that will give you the past understanding, the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The God that loves you, the God that enables you to love, the God that gives you grace, the God that gives you mercy, He's going to be there. He's going to be there. The God that says, I will repay. He is the God of judgment. He will judge those that need it. You don't have to worry about judging others. He will do it for you. Yes, no charge. So you don't have to go to your next brother and say, hey, something wrong with what you're doing. Yes, you can provoke them to good works. How do you provoke people by good works? It's not done with a lot of talking. It's morally done with a lot of doing. You know, it's often easy to say, hey, you're doing that wrong, brother. If you look at yourself, you're doing the same thing they're doing, probably. More likely, more so than not. So be careful with that. But it's nothing wrong when you see a brother doing wrong. You say, hey, brother, we shouldn't be doing that. Don't be the quiet guy. Don't be the hermit now that goes hide and don't stand up for the truth either. There's a discretion and a balance there, and we need to find that. We need not be the one that's always on people's throat, but at the same time, we don't need to be the one that's watching people die and not saying a word. So we need to be careful. You know, what was that? In the book of Proverbs, remember the simple one? I think it's in the book of Proverbs. I'm maybe getting confused, and I always do that. I didn't have the ice cream last night. Oh, I did have ice cream last night. Well, never mind. I'm blaming myself. I'm trying to blame others, see? I'm blaming ice cream, but never mind. I'm getting in trouble. I think it's in the book of Proverbs. It was a simple guy that was walking down the street, and the strange woman, I believe, invites him to come in. I think it's Proverbs 7 or Proverbs 9. But invites him to come in, and eventually, obviously we know the story that he died, and the ways of the strange woman in his house is what? The ways of death and the chambers of... I'm really torturing that verse. But it goes something to do about dying. But the neat thing about it, you don't notice who observed all of this thing happening. There was a guy that was watching this all happening. And the preacher was preaching was this and says, so who's at fault? Who was really at fault? Who was the one that was responsible? Not only that man that went into that lady's place, but that guy that watched this whole thing happen and not said a word. And sometimes we could be that person. We've seen something wrong and we don't say a word. So we need to be in balance. We need to be careful. We don't want to be sticking people's and be a Pharisee ourselves. But at the same time, we need not to be quiet. So there's a balance there. And you say, how can I get that balance? Through the Word of God, listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. He gives you discretion. You need to listen to Him. You need to listen to Him so you know when to speak and when not to speak. Forsake the washing even is as simple death. And we'll die if we don't continually. Yes, in heaven we're seated in the heavenlies. We're righteous. But on earth, yes, we still have a simple nature and we fall. And so thus, the labor speaks of the life that we live on earth as a Christian. The life that we always have to go back to God again and say, God, I messed up again. Please help me today. Holy Spirit, give me the grace that I need to live this life. Help me, Lord, they just wronged me. Help me to forgive them. Help me to do the right thing. That's what the labor speaks of. It speaks of the life we're living on earth. As a Christian, we're living on earth, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world, and we're living a Christian life. We're trying to live as if Christ was living on earth, and our life is hidden in Him. We're trying to live like Christ, as He lived on earth. We're not in heaven yet. And so we need to be careful. We need to be in a constant cleansing, going to the Word. Hey, Lord, show me again what I did wrong. Because in heaven, you see, we won't have to battle that flesh. We won't have to battle that sinful nature. We would be enjoying the full benefit of that heavenly nature. We're going to be a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ in Romans 8, and we're going to be seated up there with Him. But on earth, it's not the case. And so we are still in danger, not of necessarily spiritual death in the sense of going to hell. We don't have to worry about that, praise the Lord. We all have to suffer physical death. It's just a consequence of sin. But we can also be in danger of the spiritual life being dead. What's that supposed to mean? That means you're going to church, but you're not getting anything out of it? That's just going through the motion? You're a dead Christian. We don't want to be a dead Christian. And you know we're dead simply because we harbor sin in our hearts. We keep it in there and we don't let it go. And we don't get cleansed by the Word. And we die spiritually. Oh yes, we look good on the outside. But the Bible talks about the Pharisees looking good on the outside. They're like whited sepulchres, but inside there were dead men's bones. Don't be a dead Christian. Christ needs you to live. Live the life that He has given you so that He can live through you. It talks about salvation, new birth, new creature. Exodus 29:4, 1 Peter 1:23, John 3:5-7. All right, you can take time to read those. And Titus 3:5, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's our salvation. That's what Christ did for us. All we have to do is what? Believe. Repent of our dead works. Repent of trusting any other thing. But trust the Lord Jesus. And we get what? Salvation. Full salvation, by the way. Full atonement. We don't have to worry about ever losing this. However, here it comes. Sanctification. That's a continual and separation. Separation from the world and separation to God. You know, sanctification, it means separation. We always get to preach about we need to be separated from the world. But the problem is, we need to understand not only should we be separated from the world, but we should be separated unto God. What's that supposed to mean? It's like this. We have an ice cream cone, right? And somebody bought it. I love it. I love it. Ice cream cone, right? I got it, right? I'm not supposed to let you have it because it's mine. I'm not supposed to let you have it because it's mine. But it's not going to do me good just holding it in there. I have to apply it. I have to put it in my mouth and enjoy it. Well, that's what sanctification is. Christ bought you. So He's not going to give you to the world. The world doesn't own you anymore. Christ bought you. But you have to let Him lick you. I mean, that was a bad illustration. Forget that. Scratch that on the tape. Man, I really messed that up. But you get the point. You have to let Him enjoy you. You have to come to Him. You have to come to Him. I really tortured that one. Wow. Man, I'm in trouble. Sanctification. But what I'm trying to say is you need to be good to God. You need to be of a use. You need to let God use you for what He wants you to use. You're His. That's what I'm saying. You're His. He can do whatever He wants with you. You're His. You need to let Him. He's not going to force Himself. You have to let yourself be yielded and say, God, here I am. Use me. I'm going to take myself out of this world because they used me a long time. And by the way, the world uses and just lets us go and don't care about us. But if you go back to God, God says, I'm going to use you and I'm going to make your name count. I'm going to make your name count throughout eternity. I'm going to make you count for all eternity. God's a blessing. And we need to go back and be a blessing to him and be able to be used. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Corinthians 7:1, that we might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we got it. The labor. Let me give you a couple of pictures and we'll be out of here. This particular people, they like their basin to look like this, I guess. They can stick their feet right here and get washed, you know, like this, so. And then they put their hands on the top. But there's the looking glasses, I believe, was inside of it. So it reflects and it'll save themselves. So that's a little bit of what the brazen labor might have looked like, according to these people. So, let's see them in action right here. See, the same people didn't think that was good enough, so they made this. So we just don't know what it looked like. But it's something where they can wash their hands. They can wash their feet. I know in the anointing of the priest, they were supposed to take a bath inside of it. I don't know if inside of it, I shouldn't say that. But they were used to use the water, used it to take a whole bath to be anointed, to be a priest. So that's a little bit of the labor. So we're done with the courtyard. We talked about the brazen altar, the first instrument you see as you go to the gate. And then we talked about the labor, which is the last instrument that you see before you go into the sanctuary. And next time I teach, we're going to talk about the sanctuary, all the curtains, all the different coverings, all the pillars, all the brackets, all everything. And we'll talk about the instruments inside the tabernacle itself, which is called the sanctuary. We'll talk about each and every one, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense. And we'll go through the veil, and we'll talk about the Ark of the Covenant and what's inside of it. All right. Have yourself an ice cream cone. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that you have given us. Thank you for your word. We pray that as we think about the Lord's Supper, even tonight, Lord, every day we should think about this. Every day we should come and ask you, Lord, to cleanse us as we read our Bible. Lord, every day that you would cleanse us, show us things that's wrong with us, or as we listen to a preaching CD or whatever, as we listen to a preacher preach, help us, Lord, to be have an open heart and always ask ourselves, show us something, Lord, that we can be taken care of, Lord, that you can help us with. Thank you, Jesus, not only that you show us our faults and you show us what we are, but you give us a solution how to solve our problem. Oh, God, thank you. You're so good to us in so many different ways. And Lord, tonight, as we come back, Lord willing, that we might be ready, Lord, for the Lord's Supper. Cleanse us, Lord, from our sins. We come to you today and help us again as the next service comes, as our pastor preaches. Lord, may the lost that comes in, Lord, may we be tender to them. May we be friendly. And Lord, may we talk to them and ask them about the condition of their soul. Lord, save them today through your preaching. Lord, save them through your word. Lord, we ask again that you'd bless all the children as they have the junior church. And Lord, as we come up here together and sing and praise you, Lord, we pray that you'll be pleased. We love you and thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.